All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, June 15th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
We got a big old sports day going on here.
Cool.
U.S. Open, second round. If you like watching a lot of, you know, just guys just hitting bogey after bogey and rolling past putts, we got the U.S. Open on. World Cup going on right now. Egypt and Uruguay.
Ooh, couple. La Copa Mundial.
with no USA team, so I'm just going to sit and lament that the entire time. And then baseball action coming on tonight. So full day of sports if you're in the mood to just sit around. And you can also go and sign up for our free 3-day trial of our projection system. That's over at dfsr.com/MLB. We'll get you started. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Members only chat, which is going to give you access to some of our PGA content that we were putting up over the course of this week leading into the U.S. Open. And we'll do that for all PGA slates and obviously football, basketball, NHL, all that stuff when it comes back around. It's all covered under one subscription package. dfsr.com/MLB. Free for 3 days. $29.95 a month after. And you are all good to go. Baseball enjoys a little... It's nice when baseball is like a background sport to me. Like, I like when there's other sports going on, and then I can kind of focus in on baseball sort of like along the periphery. I know that's not a great way to start a podcast here, but baseball sort of for me exists like that. It's like, oh, do you have a good book you want to read, and you want to like tilt your eye up to the screen every, you know, 3.5 minutes? Like, I like baseball, but it's not like meant, like these other sports are meant to kind of just like watch. Anyway, full slate. Well, how's this slate, when you looked at it this morning, before the podcast, how's it sort of shaping up for you? I know we kind of like when we have very specific pitchers to target and then maybe, you know, going both ways, good and bad. Does this slate kind of strike you as that? Or do some of the matchups these or prices on these pitchers have you a little wary?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, to be honest. I think it's going to be tricky on FanDuel to decide on a pitcher. Right now, our system is going with the fifth most expensive pitcher, and typically I like to be in a little bit of a higher range. Like, I don't want to be in kind of a puntish sort of territory, and we're not in a full-on punt. That always concerns me a little bit, especially when you have ace-level pitchers like Kluber and Paxton going on a slate. DraftKings, I think there's slightly more sanity, but that's got its own issues too, so... So yeah, I suppose we just jump into it here.
Yeah, let's talk about Kluber first. He's not the guy that's coming in. You're mentioning Stripling as the guy that's coming into some lineups right now. Kluber is getting very expensive. He's $12,000 on FanDuel. He is really high up there, 13-6 on DraftKings. The 13-6 specifically, even the 12, to me, a guy, and the reason I think this is because I'm basing it sort of like what our system thinks as well. A guy like this, to be priced in this tier, has to be in that Sale, Scherzer, I mean, kind of Gerrit Cole at this point, this class of, you need to be like up and over sort of 11.5 Ks per nine, at least, or maybe at least over 11 Ks per nine with limited walks. Kluber just hasn't been getting it done this week. I mean, so far this season with the strikeouts, he's been very good. 2.6 xFIP, goes a ton of innings. The guy goes like 7 innings on average or something like that. To me, it strikes me as too expensive, though, and it definitely our system thinks that as well. Do you agree with this assessment, or is he just so far and away the best pitcher on the slate that it's worth paying up a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different things to address there. The first is he the best pitcher on the slate? I do think that he is. I mean, and just in terms of raw baseball talent, his walk numbers are just phenomenal this season. So, and I think if you're targeting a low floor or a high floor, what's the good floor? The high floor is the good floor. I think that he's the best guy in that category just on the sheer fact that he walks less than one guy per nine innings.
That's
like, that's insane. That's like peak Dan Heron sort of stuff. And he just strikes out more guys than Dan Heron did. I also think that the K numbers... Well, I'm curious to know what sample size I'm supposed to trust here. Because if you zoom out for the whole season, that's just an arbitrary timeline, right? Like, that's like... Okay, I'm going to pick his last 14 starts. Well, what if you pick his last 5 starts? In the last 5 starts, he's back to last season's K's numbers, right? If you just want to exclude a few games against teams that never strike out, like Kansas City and Milwaukee, then all of a sudden you're back in those last season numbers too. So we're still at a point, and baseball is always this way, because for pitchers, you don't really even get to the long run over the course of a whole season, and that's just makes it very tough to evaluate in that regard. One great game or one terrible game can really screw up those season-long rate stats. So I'm not ready to say that Kluber's like a totally different pitcher than he was last season. But I think if you take his broader body of work and you go back to like 2015, 2016, I think something like what we haven't projected for, which is around 10.5 Ks per nine, is probably correct. The issue is that you just have other pitchers with much better matchups who are cheaper and have what appears to be, at least right now, similar or more K upside. And I think for that reason, I'm still okay. And, you know, he's pitching in an American League game. So again, 11% more of the batters will be real batters and not pitchers. So for that reason, I think that I'm willing to go away from Kluber tonight. But I think that, I don't know, I think the fantasy industry writ large is has a lower opinion of Kluber than I do in general.
I'm gonna sound like a fan here in the way that I don't like to, which is not a derogatory term necessarily, but I'm saying this without having looked it up. But I could have sworn there's been seasons where Kluber has just notoriously started slow. I'm trying to remember this from other seasons in the past where it seems like he's been gotten out of the box kind of slow. Maybe it's because it's cold in Cleveland more than it is in some other places, and he plays just in that AL Central where you're just gonna play more outdoor games in bad weather, and then he's picked it up as the course of the season's gone on. And if that's the case, if that's what we're starting to see now, like in his recent game log, then I am comfortable with a 10.5 Ks per nine, and I'm with you that the matchup just isn't nearly as good, man. But the walks, he's averaging 7.
All right, so you ready? I just looked this up. So your fan mode hunch that you went off of,
yeah,
you're going to be pleasantly surprised. I think ERA, I'm just going to go ERAs by month. March and April, 3.6. Mm-hmm. May, 3.3. June, 2.67. July, 2.52. August, 2.77. And then it dips back down in September. But
when it gets cold again.
I think that's slow. Oh, good call. That slow start theory, Doug. I don't know. It looks like, and he basically has one full season in each month. So around exactly 200 innings in every month. I don't know. You might be onto something.
Yeah, so anyway.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Okay, that crap never works out.
Like, I cannot believe that you just pulled that, because I was ready just to crap a little.
Oh, I know you were. I know you were.
Just to not mislead the readers, so congratulations.
That's why I couched it so hardcore even before I said it, because I knew there's a good chance it was wrong. Anyway, I'm a genius. I'm right. All right, so let's talk about
you're the brain. I'm the eye and you're the brain.
let's talk about some of these other guys. The guy, obviously, the system's calling out right now is Stripling. Stripling had a bunch of relief performances under his belt, and then now has been fully moved into the starter's role and has been kind of just completely crushing it as a starter here. 11 Ks per nine, that number has basically sustained as a starter as well. So I know sometimes when you look at 11 relief games, that the Ks will just generally tend to tick up there because you're in optimal situations. He's basically been able to sustain it. He's another guy who doesn't walk anybody, less than two, right around 1.5 walks per nine.
Yeah,
and he gets the Giants as a pretty big favorite here. I'm going to look real quick. Yeah,
minus 206.
Yeah, minus 200 right now, which is by far, I believe, the best money line on the day. Corey Kluber's right around there, minus 200 as well. Is he just, with those numbers, for 3,000 less on FanDuel, it feels weird sometimes paying down for these guys, but is this a situation where he's just simply mispriced? Like, it can feel weird to pay down when the guy is in an iffy situation. If the guy's just simply mispriced on FanDuel, he's mispriced on DraftKings even worse, honestly. He's 9,800. I think he should be like in that, with these numbers, like in the 11,000 range.
Well, yeah, based on what DraftKings has done this season with guys like Miles Mikolas and stuff like that, I don't know why he's sub 10,000 on DraftKings.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, is he just an easy call here, even on FanDuel, where on a big slate allows you to pay up for maybe some safer bats in better situations, which we definitely have those going tonight. Not a ton of huge run lines. Texas and Colorado looks like an outlier there. But is he just worth it just based on his numbers? The matchup's pretty good against a righty-heavy Giants team.
Yeah, so the matchup to start with, the Giants have been better against righties than I assumed they were based on the fact that they imported a bunch of old righties that are heavy platoon guys.
Right.
But this season, they've been in the top half of the league in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching. So, you know, it's not exactly the matchup you'd be hoping for in terms of, like, just ideal matchups. It's not the Padres or something like that. Although the Padres could be scrappy at times.
Don't even start. I went off. I know you said that to troll me. I went completely off in our chat, our members only chat last night about the idea. I wrote so much that I probably should just copy and paste it and turn it into an article.
Let's make it an article.
Because I've typed so many words that it's like half of an article that I probably just need to like add a little graph to and maybe just clean up in terms of in the edit. And it could probably just be a whole entire article about how the Padres are not scrappy. Anyway, whatever. Keep going. Because I know you just did that to bait me.
Yeah, no problem. That was you took that bait.
Oh,
that was pretty good bait. So yeah, so the Giants, they do strike out in a top 10 rate against right-handed pitching. So, you know, Stripling, a guy who can K a lot of guys, that gives him that additional upside, and a tremendous matchup against Derek Holland means that he's a heavy favorite too. So especially on FanDuel, I mean on DraftKings, if we agree that he's mispriced on FanDuel where the win matters a lot, he's got a better money line than someone like Corey Kluber. So I think you take all that together and you've got a guy, it's always weird because generally speaking, the pricing is relatively efficient, but it's very rare, I would say. Like, can you remember the last time a guy who cost 9,100 was the biggest favorite on the night and struck out more than 10 guys per nine? Like, that's
the favorite, probably, that's just a recipe the strikeouts. For, like, with the combining them together, like FanDuel, we've talked a couple times how FanDuel has just gotten very soft with their pitcher pricing in the short term. There have been some sub 10,000 guys, but not with this kind of peripherals and this kind of money line. So I would agree with you there. It seems to me kind of easy. Now I have a question about another guy that our system's calling out on DraftKings, that this one gives me pause. And I kind of get why it's happening, and I don't know if I want to go to the mat having to do this in cash. But that's James Paxton at sub 11,000. So on its face, his numbers are elite. Like, he's one of those plus 11Ks per nine guys so far this season. But he gets the Red Sox. So it seems like he's getting a price down because of matchup. His recent game log might have a couple of blemishes on it as well. I wonder if that's driving the price down. Never mind. Last game, he struck out 10 guys in 7 innings. Did allow 3 earned runs, but the game before went 7 2/3 and allowed 1 earned run and struck out 6. I think he's getting this price down simply because he's playing the Red Sox. At what point does the price meet the matchup in a way that you can target the pitcher, if that makes sense what I'm asking? Like, there's a price that you can pay for anybody, right? Like, if James Paxton was a dollar, then you would play him against the Rockies and Coors, right? Like, so once you establish this as a baseline, that there is some price that you can pay for everybody, and is this just low enough against a Red Sox team that's clearly just, especially near the top of their order, is one of the best offenses in baseball and has at least two guys that will completely dominate left-handed pitching?
So you're sitting down, Doug?
Yes.
This season, the Red Sox have been terrible against left-handed pitching, regardless of having two guys that can hit lefties very, very well. They're the seventh worst team in terms of WOBA against lefties, and they're 0.09 away from being second last. No one will ever catch the Mets. The Mets are just something totally different.
We'll talk about that when it comes to this.
Yeah, just totally outrageous. But yeah, so they've been basically tied for second worst in the majors or thereabouts against left-handed pitching this season, and they're striking out at a top five rate against lefties too. So you combine that, and we're going into Safeco. So you get a really, really good pitcher's park. They're much worse against lefties on the season. Paxton's an elite lefty. He's getting the price decrease on DraftKings based on the tough matchup. I think I like it.
Yeah, and I looked real quick at just their BABIP and WOBA numbers. BABIP and home run the fly ball numbers, because those are sometimes just quick ways to look if a team is running bad.
Yeah, see where the luck is.
And they have not been unlucky. They've been around the middle of the pack in terms of BABIP against lefties, around the middle of the pack in terms of home run the fly ball. And there could be other extenuating circumstances, but it sure doesn't look like it. And
there
especially
can't.
If you get a team that plays in Fenway with that, the green monster giveth and taketh away, but it's going to allow at least more hits, right? So, like, whether it's going to allow more home runs or not is subject to debate just simply because of how the ball trajectory off the bat. But it's still easier to just get hits in Fenway for right-handed bats against lefties. So, yeah, I think I'm with you. It doesn't feel good. And I think we're going to be on the wrong side of the chalk there, because I think there's enough narrative that's going to be difficult to talk yourself into just because they are the Red Sox. And I had no idea they had been that bad against lefties, mostly because I don't even think about rostering pitchers against them very often, because they're just always the favorite and they just have a ton of runs coming in on their side. It's a reason you just never have to look at them. And yet Paxton is a nice, -140, -150 favorite right now. They're coming in with, like, I don't know, around three implied runs. Vegas is on to the fact that they're not very good against lefties, and they're the fact that that Paxton is very good. Yeah, 3.2 implied runs. Last two guys I want to throw out here before we get into some of the offense. So you mentioned the Mets. Zach Godley gets to face the Mets. The Mets have been, I'm running out of words to say how bad they've been. They, in the short term, they have been so, so brutal.
Well, to have this record with this pitching staff is just, again, incredible.
I mean, DeGrom's allowed like one run in his last three games or something like that. I would just quit. If I was him, I'd just say, dude, just trade me. This is ridiculous. How many games do I need to go out and just pitch a fucking shutout? He almost pitched a complete game. The other night where he was going to take the loss. They yanked him early, I think. I was like, he's going to pitch a complete game, and he's only going to pitch 8 innings because the other team's winning 1-0. Like, this is insane. This is completely insane. So at some point, you just got to just say, enough is enough. These guys, I just can't see, Amed Rosario getting the lineup again, or Kevin Plawecki. Like, these are the guys that are going to get me runs? Forget it. So, their overall season numbers aren't totally there, because they did have a little bit of offense to start the season, but they're just trending completely the wrong direction. Godley can strike guys out. He's been walking a ton of guys. Is he a guy that we want to consider in cash games? Simply because the matchup is, we're entering like Padres level of matchup when we talk about facing the Mets. Does Godley enter the conversation there? He's coming really cheap on DraftKings, only 8,100.
Yeah, he enters the conversation on DraftKings. I just think you got to ask yourself who's going to miss out. So you're going to get, say you went Stripling and Godley, and you'd have all the salary left over. But the problem is you can just play the good pitchers. You can play Paxton and Stripling and still be able to get all the guys from the game with the highest total, right? Because it's that Texas Coors game that has a 10.5 total that's essentially a pick 'em. Two bad pitchers, excellent hitters park in Texas, but you don't get the Coors inflated prices. And I just don't think you need the savings to go down to Godley. And there's certainly a lot of upside here. He's going to be one of the most popular big tournament pitchers tonight. But at 4.5 walks, like, why just go wading into that quagmire? You know, like he could be fine. He hasn't always struggled with the walks, but he's kind of went back and forth in the minors. I don't know. I think he's a good play. I think there's a lot of upside. Wouldn't shock me if he's the best points per dollar play when it all comes out in the wash at the end, but I don't see any reason to take the risk personally for cash.
Along those luck metrics, the Mets actually do rank right near the bottom in terms of BABIP, so they have been running bad. There's reason to believe that. And they, in terms of home run, the fly ball, they're in the bottom third. So they probably had a little bit more bad luck come in on their side, and they're still not very good. Last guy I wanted to throw out there, Kevin Gausman. He comes in for an Orioles pitching staff that's really struggled this year, and he's been one of the few. I mean, guess Dylan Bundy's been decent at times, too. Gausman, not bad, right around a K per nine, a little bit less. Really been able to reduce the walks over last year. He was walking around 3.5 guys per nine last season, down to 2 here. Is he a guy on DraftKings? He's another one that's coming pretty damn cheap, and he's a matchup guy. He gets to face Miami. Are we on it in terms of just like his rate numbers being good enough against Miami's one of the, they might be the worst team in the majors against right-handed pitching, even though they don't strike out a ton. Is he worth a look?
Yeah, Gausman's funny. You know, it's always interesting to see how the industry and just the league itself views these young pitchers who come up and don't dominate right away. Because when Gausman first came up, he was just like pretty bad. He would go out there and not strike very many guys out, give up a lot of home runs, like, you know, just not really profile as the near level ace that he was as a prospect. And he's slowly just improving every year, right? He's brought the walks down to 2, like you mentioned, still giving up a lot of home runs, still giving up a lot of hard contact. But I could see him against a team like the Marlins, who's going to punish a guy who gives up hard contact less than a lot of other teams. I could see him as a reasonable plug-in. I don't see why you go there for cash game purposes. Like, I guess I am continually wary of a guy like Gausman that he, for whatever reason, and probably he just pitches up in the zone, but he's just giving up more hard contact than most pitchers. Last year's 336 BABIP looks unlucky until you see the season's 338 BABIP and the prior season's 308. So I don't really know what to make of Gausman yet. I don't know that we have a definitive declaration on who the pitcher is that he'll become. I don't mind being a week early on him again for big tournaments. And for my cash game purposes, I don't see the reason to take the risk.
And like I said, for our purposes right now, at least for cash games, we're coming in at 100% Paxton and Stripling. It's really going to take a lot.
We already have the good cheap plays. I guess that's my thing. Like, on an average night, like if there wasn't Stripling just clogging up the works here with being way, way, way too cheap, I think Gausman and Godley would both be very interesting plays.
All right, before we get into some of these bats, and there are a lot of guys to consider, there are some bad pitchers going today, hit us up with a sponsor.
Awesome. Let's talk about FantasyFactor.com. FantasyFactor is a great place to go and play salary cap game formats like you're used to, but without all the sharks putting in hundreds of lineups. It's been really, really helpful for our more casual players that are DFSR members to go there and play between, say, $5 and $100 a night. They run, like I said, all the salary cap games you're used to, but also a lot of really innovative, interesting contests. They've done a progressive home run derby this year. I'm sure they'll do something fun for the All-Star break again. When football rolls back around, they'll be down there too. So check them out. Check them out for their weekly free rolls too. It's fantasyfactor.com.
We're in a good spot today with just being able to pay up for some of these pitching or just being able to take some of the savings, because we have expensive teams coming in against in good matchups and also some cheaper teams as well. I have a bunch of recommendations here. I'm sure we're going to be in lockstep on some of them. Is there one team just to start that is drawing your eye, or are you kind of like me and it's like it's going to be hard to choose because it's almost like one pitcher is worse than the next when you go down the list of guys starting?
Yeah, I brought this up earlier, but I think that Rockies-Rangers game is pretty interesting here. When you see a 10.5 game and a pick 'em and the Rockies are involved, it's usually in Coors, and that means it's actually somewhat of an unexciting game. But right, when you get them out of Coors and you get them over to Texas and you get Texas-style prices, our system right now basically just wants to get its fill. Right now, and who knows if this will keep for the whole day, but it has 5 Rangers and 1 Rocky on DraftKings in cash, and on FanDuel we've got 4 Rangers and 2 Rockies, yep, for cash. So right now the system is saying for cash game purposes, that game's going to have the highest floor. And the reason there, like I said, is, I mean, actually neither the Rockies nor the Rangers are truly imposing offenses, generally speaking, but against poor opposing pitchers and Bettis and Yohander Mendez, you just have a pretty good spot on both sides. So I think that's going to be the overwhelmingly chalk stack for cash game purposes tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Again, these are not teams I get too excited about. I mean, from time to time, they come so cheap. But look, and the reason teams come cheap, especially when they've been rather static in terms of how they deploy their batting lineups. If the guys are still coming cheap, it's for a reason. It's because they're not very good. There's not really a secret there. And that's not the case necessarily with the Rockies, who are getting kind of expensive. Some of that's Coors leftover stuff, just because...
They're just regressed based on their season-long averages.
Exactly. So like guys like Arenado are still up near 5,000 on DraftKings. Story as well. The Arenado is a guy, if he's facing any kind of lefty in almost any situation, he's worth the play. He's just that good against lefties, sort of park independent. And he's a guy at 4,600 on FanDuel, especially if you're paying down for pitching. He's a near lock, I think, for our
season. He's got more than 1,100 OPS this season.
Right. He's good. The other guys, it's sometimes hard to tell where they stand in terms of how good they are just because they have so many games in Coors. And then you get the Rangers. They haven't shifted their lineup around too much. I think you're going to get Chu at the top of the lineup. You might get the Shields. The one spot they haven't really totally decided on is that second spot in the lineup. That's been the Shields at times. It's been Profar at times. Keener Falafa has been times. They kind of moved that around. Mazzara, Beltre, Profar, all the way down. Even Gallo still coming pretty cheap because Bettis doesn't strike anybody out. And that's the bugaboo with a lot of these Ranger guys, especially Gallo, is that he just strikes out a ton. And when you can reduce that, I've never seen a day I didn't want to put Rogan or Odor into a lineup. This guy, he's
batting
like
batting 10th, coming off the bench.
He's like the second.
Don't think
Barry
you can
Bonds.
Roll him out.
As far as ours, like, it doesn't matter. Simply doesn't matter what this guy does or what we do to his projection. He just kind of, it's like Jason from Halloween. Like he just keeps, not Halloween, Jason from Friday the 13th. He just keeps coming back. All right. Anyway, beyond this game though, which I think we're probably going to be heavy on, hit me up with some other bad pitchers here because there are a ton.
Yeah, there really are. We already talked about Ross Stripling going up against Derek Holland, but the Dodgers get to face him as well. Holland this season is kind of like oddly improved over his last two seasons. He's striking out more guys and walking less, but is still a well below league average pitcher with a 4.6 xFIP. Holland has been running pretty hot in terms of batting average on balls in play allowed relative to his established career levels, running about 30 points better there. And he's still giving up tons of fly balls. So 38% ground ball rate will be among the bottom 10 in the league if he pitches enough innings to qualify. So I don't like the Dodgers as much for cash game purposes. You know, Vegas doesn't have them at an overwhelmingly high implied total, but if you can get them, especially the Dodgers are one of these teams that run a lot of platoons, if you can get some of their right-handed guys and plug them in there for upside purposes or maybe stack this for a big tournament, if you think that this could be one of Holland's blow-up games, a guy who gave up 2 home runs per 9 innings last season, I think they're a pretty interesting pivot.
Yeah, they're going to probably go righties down at least the top 4, Taylor, Turner, Kemp, and then Kiki Hernandez would be my guess. Kiki especially is cheap, only 3,300 on DraftKings. He's just a full-on platoon guy. It's not a night, again, where we need to save a ton of money just if we're going to go the way we outlined. But if you're going to think about rostering Kluber, then he is definitely a guy that you want to probably consider just because of the way he never plays at all against righties. He's just strictly a versus lefty platoon. Some other guys going today. I'm wondering your thoughts here on a team like the Orioles. Now, the Orioles have been awful. They've been one of the worst teams in baseball. They have guys who, like Chris Davis, who have, like, so far below replacement level OPS that I think he might just be completely benched. He may even be hurt too. He doesn't project to be in the lineup, thank God, because he's another one that, like, it's hard to just downward guide a guy that's been this bad. Like, you can do it, and then at some point you're like, well, do I just turn Chris Davis into, like, the worst hitter in AA, which is basically what he's been. It's so hard to, like, really guide them down. But they do get Jose Urena here. Urena has, he's been okay. They're in an implied run line a little higher than usual for their team, but they're coming so cheap because they've been so bad. At what point, we discussed this with the Mets and Matt Koch last night, at what point does a cheap team that's been bad warrant consideration in a good park against an average pitcher, or are they just so bad that we'd be more inclined to target Urena than the actual offensive side of the Orioles?
No, I don't think you want to play Urena. I mean, the improvement's obviously promising. The guy's really, really young. Like, he came up when he was 22 years old, so he's still only 26, and we're going to harken back to when we were stacking against him in 2015 on this very podcast, and he was striking out 4 guys per 9, but right now, being at 7.4 per 9, that's about what he was profiling as a minor league pitcher, and the 2 walks per 9, he was always a pretty good control guy before he got to the majors too, so I wouldn't be surprised if these changes were permanent. Now, that doesn't exactly round you into an ace or anything like that, but it means he's not like a world-class bum like he's been in the past, and that's going to be that's going to make it less enticing for me personally to want to stack against him on a slate where there are actually world-class bumps going. Now, The Orioles, I think, are a totally different question. I actually think, again, for cash game purposes, I don't feel the need to try to guess right and pick them on the exact right night. But for big tournaments, yeah, sure. Like guys like Davis, they're going to be underpriced. And the thing is, he can strike out three times and hit one home run and knock in three and be well worth your investment, right? So I think that Orioles are definitely an intriguing stack for big tournaments. But yeah, for cash, why do I need to be the guy who gets them on just the perfect night where they turn it around? I just don't see myself trying to do that.
Yeah, the only reason I'm kind of pointing to them, at least this part of the podcast, is because on DraftKings, every single one of their guys, except for Machado, who's actually been decent, every single one of their guys is coming at like $3,500 or less, which for DraftKings is insanely cheap. Like Jace Peterson at $2,600 on DraftKings is a full-on near minimum punt if he's going to be in the leadoff spot. And he actually has shown a lot of patience. I wouldn't mind. At $2,600, I wouldn't mind doing any cash. And I'm with you that at some point, like, you just can't. They're cheap for a reason. They've just been that bad. Other teams that you're looking at before we get out of here?
Yeah, I think there's a couple others that you can check in on. The Pirates are another one of these teams. They've got Matt Harvey tonight. And Harvey, we've talked about him many, many times on the podcast. He is showing signs of life. The Ks are slightly up from last year. The walks are significantly down. Last year, his total average was 4.5 walks per nine, which made him one of the very worst pitchers in all the majors. This year, that's down to 2.7. Now, it hasn't been met with quite the same improvement that you'd be hoping for. Like, he's nowhere near 2015 levels or even the 2016 year that was cut short by injury. But he's still pretty bad. And I think for those reasons, yeah, the Pirates, they've got, I don't have this pulled up, unfortunately, but they've got one of the highest implied totals on the day, if not the very highest. And yeah, just seem like a solid, again, probably offbeat stack because you're not going to find a lot of room to stack them for cash.
The problem with the Pirates, they're just a team full of just like guys. Like I don't know the good way to put this, but like, I mean, Austin Meadows has come up. He's actually got about 1,000 OPS in his first 100 plate appearances. Some of that's been luck, though he is something of a prospect. So he's not too terribly expensive. Colin Moran is another guy. He's just, again, kind of a guy like mid 700s OPS hitting. But if he's hitting third in a good matchup, this is right around the time you can target them. Corey Dickerson has been at times looked insane, and then at times just kind of, you know, gets straight up released by the Rays. So it's kind of tough to make whatever he is like going to be going forward. And I'm with you, like, they're going to stack those lefty bats, and even Josh Harrison, who's been, I'm pretty sure, platoon neutral for his career. If this is going to be, the park doesn't help him at all, but it's going to be pretty rare that you see the Pirates at a 4.8 implied run total. It just doesn't.
Fifth or sixth highest team in terms of implied total tonight, and you're going to get them much cheaper than the other teams. And so, you know, and fifth or sixth highest doesn't sound like the best in the world, but that's only 10% off of the overall leaders today. You know, teams that you'd happily stack, teams like the Yankees going up against Nathan Eovaldi or the Texas Colorado game, you know. So like, there's definitely some value here. One problem with the Pirates is, actually, for DFS purposes, we do like teams to be more top heavy, just like concentrated in the hands of a few really, really good players that we can stack. Well, we don't really care if the 7, 8, 9 guys are terrible. The Pirates are a little bit more spread out, but I don't know. It's still like, we're all talking, the best game is so obviously the best game that we're basically shuffling around pieces after that. And I think the Pirates are another team you can target. Actually, one more I wanted to throw out there before we got going, while we're on the subject of implied total, are the Astros. The Astros go up against Jacob Junis tonight. Junis has been better than expected this season, but the Astros are still the Astros. And if you do decide to go double cheap on pitching on DraftKings, you can start to afford both, say, the Rangers and the Astros. And as a double stack with two cheap and high upside pitchers, say you go Godley and Stripling or something like that, I think you can make some really interesting big tournament lineups on DK tonight.
Yep, for sure. Springer, Bregman, Altuve, Correa, just that whole top. That is a very top-heavy lineup, even though they have a couple bats near the bottom. But that obviously is a top-of-the-order.
Stack them.
Yeah, definitely. If you can afford it, which I think you're going to be able to do, at least on both sites, if you pay down for pitching, they look like they're in good shape. All right, we're going to get out of here for this Friday. Too many sports going on to keep this rolling. DFSR.com/MLB will get you that free 3-day trial to our projection system. So go check that out. We'll be back again next week talking more baseball. Buddy, enjoy your weekend.
Bye.